Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. Oh, I thought I had Penny and Cameron and it looks like I lost them again. Penny and Cameron, can you hear me?
Can you hear us, Michael? We
can
hear you.
Oh, now
Cameron.
I can hear you.
Here in the monastery.
Now I can hear you.
Yay, great. We redialed you because the first time you kept asking for us and we could hear you and you couldn't hear us.
Oh, my goodness. Technology today.
Yes, technology today, but here we are. Hi.
Great. Hi.
This is
Welcome.
Cameron, and Penny's here, too.
Hey, Michael, it's Penny.
Hi, Penny. How are you both today?
Good. Very good. It's quite warm here today.
Quite warm where I am, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Life is always changing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Great. And how is the gardening doing these days with this warm weather?
Well, the garden is doing really well. We had over a couple of hundred heads of lettuce, and they're kind of winding down now. And the tomatoes are in full force. They're just coming on. We're picking almost a flat of tomatoes every day, orange and red and yellow, and they are just gorgeous, and they taste delicious.
Wonderful. I can almost taste them right now.
We have a little bit of chard and kale still in the garden that could be picked soon. And we're actually in the process now of getting ready for our winter garden and figuring out the things we want to order for the winter.
Great. Great. So it sounds like that planning process begins now. And then what's the timeline after that?
Well, right now, we're probably going to finish doing a lot of harvesting and kind of clear the beds out, except for the tomatoes, which probably will produce into December. And
wow.
And then we'll start in the greenhouse, and we'll plant seedlings. We're going to focus on greens in the winter. That's what grows best. And also some beets. Oh, we had a great beet harvest earlier. And some broccoli and cauliflower, and probably the first thing, and spinach, the first things will probably be coming to a point where they could be harvested around the end of October.
That's fun. Very.
Yeah, and the summer garden started a little late because we had a cool. It was cool for longer than usual.
Yes.
So we are having our cucumber plants are just now starting to have little cucumbers. They're just starting.
Wow.
So we're having summer and we're beginning fall and winter kind of overlapping.
Exciting.
Yeah.
And to bring it into practice, what I'm hearing is adapting to what's going on in the moment.
We didn't hear what you said, Michael?
I said I was trying to bring our conversation into practice a little bit, and what I heard in what you were sharing was adapting to what is in the moment.
Yes, indeed. Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, this has been an experimental year, Michael, because the garden has been kind of at rest for a couple of years because of a little critter that had taken over. And we still have a few little critters, but they don't seem to have impeded the growth of the garden. But, another piece that feels like practice is truly, Cameron and I are new at this, and so we kind of see what happens. We experiment. It's all an adventure. And we just learn what we learn as we go.
And that's a great attitude of mine, isn't it?
And we, in terms of being in the moment and letting the moment call the shots, we have our flowers didn't come. We didn't plant a lot of flowers this year.
Yes.
And yet all of these little volunteer flowers have popped up. So over time, these beds have kind of created themselves. So we have one bed that has volunteer morning glories. It has a volunteer tomato plant, a little tomato plant. It has a hollyhock flower. It has marigolds that came up from last year. And all of those things just kind of did their own thing and just came by themselves, except a few of them were planted. And it actually looks just gorgeous, just like the universe created it.
Great. Great. Life always seems to come up with great plans, in my experience.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You know, part of what's fun about this, too, Michael, is that, the monastery is very much a place that stays close to the land that it's on.
Yeah.
You know, the it's off the grid, it's solar powered, and there's such attention to living with this piece of property. And it feels like the garden is really an expression of that. And that's part of what's exciting for us, I think, is that to be really literally nourished by the land and learn to work with it in a way where in all ways it nourishes us is pretty wonderful.
Yes, 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 indeed. And what I hear in that is really just the abundance of life and how much life wants to give us.
Indeed, indeed. All of these plants just really do seem like they're just inherently want to live and want to give.
Yes, yes.
And we're gratefully receiving and gratefully giving our attention to them too. It's really beautiful.
Great, great. And it's fun for me to hear, Penny, you mentioned that you and Cameron don't have a lot of experience with this. For me, it's great to hear. I project a lot of willingness to jump in and try stuff and put your whole heart into it and learn what you learn as you go.
Yeah, it's really a great opportunity to practice beginner's mind because there's two beginner's minds here in relationship to the garden. And, you know, for example, we were trying to harvest potatoes. We had great hopes for potatoes, and so far it's been pretty little and pretty disappointing. But, you know, so now we know we need to learn more about how you harvest potatoes or how you grow potatoes and then harvest them, and yet other things are growing abundantly. So, you know, what have we found out about, you know, growing those things? And it's all just, you know, really, Michael, let's put a seed in the ground and see what happens.
Put a seed in the ground and see what happens. Which sounds like a great metaphor for life. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share?
Well, just to invite people to come to the monastery for retreats and things, and who knows, you may have a salad that just came out of the garden that day. That's our goal, is that more and more people will be eating that, you know, incredibly nourishing food that you grow yourself right here when they come to retreats.
Yes, and as you said, there's that very close connection to the land that the monastery maintains. Cameron, anything else you'd like to share with us today?
Well, we didn't mention we have some fruit trees and some grapes that are also producing things to eat, and it just feels really, really great just to be able to go and pick something off of a tree that's growing and to be able to eat it. We had these little peaches that they're called donut peaches. They're little flat peaches.
Yes, yes.
I am telling you, I have never tasted a more delicious peach. They are just scrumptious. They're all gone now, but maybe some more will grow this year or maybe not till next year.
Yes, yes, it's very exciting. And I, as you were talking, I was imagining the difference between pulling the peach off the tree and putting it in your mouth versus the experience I usually have, which is to go into a store and see them all displayed there, and the connection to the land is really not as prominent to me.
Yes, and you know when you bite into it, you're not going to be biting a lot of poison and such.
Yes.
And you have the exciting experience of eating fruits and vegetables that don't all have little stickers on them.
Yes, yes, yes. They don't actually grow intrinsically with stickers, do they? Penny, Cameron, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Dave, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good, especially after listening to that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I can't tell you how it warms my heart to hear those guys saying that. It's, you know, they're you know, obviously going to be modest about what they've pulled off, but it's pretty amazing. And you know, what I was looking at as you guys are talking is the power of applying attention to something.
Yeah.
Because for years, you know, we've had we have long time ago, just one little garden, which we now call the lower garden. And then I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, we put a lot of effort into creating a new garden, which is we call the upper garden. And we had a flourishing garden for a couple of years, and then this little critter that Penny referred to got involved. And it's just been hard. And what's been hard about it is, along with the garden, we have all this other stuff that we're trying to do. And, you know, we are attempting to do as much or more than a small group of people has any right to attempt to do. And, you know, what we kept coming back to was we just don't have the attention for it. And we have attention for a garden that just is sort of producing on its own, but attention that needs care and needs you know, we got to deal with the critter and we got to, you know, like that. We just didn't have the attention for it. And then last year we came in and we said, okay, it's really important to us to grow food. So let's give it a shot. And we really didn't pull it off because we weren't able to apply the attention. And then this year, Cameron and Penny came forward and said, you know what, this is really important to us. We really want to see this happen. We have the attention for it, and we're volunteering to apply that. And they have done that, and it's amazing what an effect that has. More, I think, than, you know, compost, water, soil, any of that stuff. Just that attention, and I would project the love and the enthusiasm and just the presence that those two have brought to their task has just made a tremendous difference out there.
Yes, I could definitely hear that in what they shared. It's very fun.
And it's proof to us that we can do it, that we do have the attention, especially those two hanging around. And so, you know, this year was, it, like Penny said, was really kind of an experimental thing. We wanted to find out, can we actually do it? And then we have ambitious plans for next year, knowing that we can, and knowing that we, to a large extent, have solved, hopefully, that little critter problem that we had. You know, we're talking about, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lettuce plants and broccoli and cauliflower and, you know, over the winter, greens, spinach, all kinds of stuff like that, and then swinging it back around to the summer again and more tomatoes and squash and the stuff we've been eating. So, you know, we're just really excited about it, or at least I am, and I think the my fellow monks share that enthusiasm, because it just seems so much in integrity with who we are to grow as much of our own food as we possibly can. Plus, it's just really good practice for us.
Yes. And as you were talking, the word that kept coming up for me was sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Sustainability.
And just the whole connection with the land and the oneness of the relationship with the land and, of course, everything.
Yeah, and there's something about eating food that you grew that, at least for me, I find incredibly supportive. Like this morning, I'm actually not at the monastery right now. I'm somewhere else, but this morning I was there and had to leave. And as I was preparing to leave, I walked into the kitchen and saw those flats of tomatoes that Cameron was talking about. They're stacked up. And I was like, surely we don't have all those tomatoes. And I, you know, picked up the top box and, yep, sure enough, there's another one underneath it, just full of this gorgeous food. And I find it's in a way you could talk about it as being sustainability kind of thing. I find that incredibly supportive. As I go about doing the work that I do, I don't ever touch a shovel hardly anymore. I'm never out there doing anything in the garden other than just talking to people about it. And so you could say that I have nothing to do with it, and, you know, from a certain point of view, that's true. But at the same time, I feel so supported by that effort that's being made to bring us all in integrity within our lives in relationship to food. It seems really, really important. And I feel like I feel that kind of on an emotional, spiritual level that's happening.
Yes. Really exciting. Really.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were thinking, I was thinking of a similar version of it. For example, when I go to the grocery store, you know, I look at the strawberries, and at one level, there's just strawberries, and I get some. And if I consider what it took to get them there and the attention that was required and the resources that went into it and the people who were involved with growing it and picking it and driving it and packing it, and it's a real connection with all of the effort that's required, all of the willingness that took to get it there.
Yeah, it's so true. And isn't that a good practice to have that in your awareness while you eat? It really connects you kind of with all that is.
Yes.
You know, one advantage that we have at the monastery is that we're sort of, in some ways, forced into that point of view. You know, we often talk about it, particularly in terms in relationship to our power system, because as Penny mentioned earlier, we're off the grid, we generate our own power. So we can't just turn on a light switch and it doesn't have any effect. You turn on the light switch and that has an effect on our entire power system. So we're required to bring a lot of consciousness and awareness to the power that we use, and which is a good thing. Because it just does not seem good to go through life not being conscious of what is going on, what kind of impact you're having, like that. It seems like such a better way to live to have a lot of consciousness of it. And so the power system's like that, and the food thing too, because if we weren't out there attempting to grow this stuff, we would just be going to the grocery store and bringing as much consciousness as we could to it. But this, it just like bumps it up to a new another level, because we have a firsthand experience of what it takes to produce the food. And so, like, I walk out now and I look at, you know, walk through a grocery store and I look at all that stuff and I was like, boy, that is a lot of food. And there was a lot of work and effort and attention that went into making that happen.
Yes.
So and I think part of what you're saying too, Michael, is that we can all practice that, whether we have the opportunity yet to attempt to grow our own food or not. We can all practice that kind of awareness while we relate to the things that we're, you know, consuming and interacting with.
Yes, absolutely. And I could go on and on, and I feel like there's something more to this radio show than me just going on and on.
Or me either, for that matter.
Okay. And before we get to our callers, I have a couple of announcements here. Sherry will be presenting a workshop called Practice Being What We Want for the World. That'll be at the Mountain View Zen Center on Saturday, September 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yep. And for folks to know, we've been working, feels like, around the clock to try to come up with a technological way for people to participate from a distance. And as a matter of fact, I'm actually down in the center right now, along with Alex, who's our techno whiz monk. And we feel like we've got a potential solution. We're working out the snags. Today we're sort of testing that and trying to see if we can work out the kinks. But if folks might keep their eye on their email for an announcement to come out to invite them to participate long distance, no guarantees, but we're getting pretty close to, I think, being able to do that. So it would be really, really fun to have a whole bunch of people out there from all over being able to dial in via Skype or via phone lines and participate in the workshop. So keep your fingers crossed on that.
Okay, great. And Sherry will be doing another workshop also at the Mountain View Zen Center called Real Comfort, and that'll be on December 11th.
Yep.
And in between, she'll be in Connecticut. What You Practice Is What You Have. That'll be a retreat in Connecticut, October 17th to 20th. And if you're anything like me, you've been clicking the Africa blog update page several times a day, and we've been getting a lot of great information from them.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of new blogs on the way, I'm pretty sure. I saw them coming through. And, you know, as a matter of fact, Sherry will likely be able to do the radio show next week, I'm imagining. Right this minute, she is out over the Atlantic someplace, returning, probably still pretty near the African continent. And so she's on her way back, and we'll be back on, hopefully, back on U.S. soil sometime tomorrow. And then we'll be able to hopefully have a pleasure for company next Tuesday on the radio show.
Great. And then, tying this all together, we'll have the Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 2nd in San Francisco.
Yep, not to be missed. Best, most fun event of the year, I'd say, probably.
Okay. Yes, it's great. And we have some callers here.
All right, good.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there, my name is Tanya from Toronto.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, I've been suffering from PTSD pretty severely and depression, et cetera, for the past 2 years. And thankfully, a friend of mine introduced me to your practice, and it's helped me tremendously, absolutely, throughout this time. But there's a couple of voices that I just can't get past. And those are the voices of despair. So whenever, let's say, an episode occurs of, you know, I'm depressed or whatever, there's the I'm trying so hard, but I just can't get over this, and when is this going to end, and that sort of despair, and I get really stuck there, and I was just wondering if, Dave, maybe you could comment on that and give me an idea of what's going on there.
Well, let me ask you, do you mind if I ask you a question about it first?
Absolutely.
If you were to sort of, it sounds like you're familiar with this kind of idea that we have in our practice, that there's this thing that we call conditioned mind that is kind of working behind the scenes, manipulating us into places we don't want to be, sabotaging our lives, producing unhappiness, like that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. So if you imagine, which you're probably pretty clear on already, that this despair and this voice talking about is conditioned mind operating in some way, what's it trying to do? What would you say? What's its agenda as it's doing this to you?
To keep me depressed.
To keep you depressed. Uh-huh. Okay. And
yeah,
along
and
with
to,
that, what else along with that? Keep you depressed and...
And to make me believe all those other voices. It's sort of a gateway into everything else that the voices say, that, oh, yeah, I'm a failure, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Yep. So it's saying, basically, be in relationship with me.
Oh.
Yeah?
Okay. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen to me. Come to me for guidance. I'll explain to you what life is all about. I'll tell you who you are. I'll help you understand, you know, what your limitations are.
So what you're saying is that when that this, because a lot of the voices I can recognize and say, okay, I know you're bad for me, but when the despair comes in, it's just so strong that I just can't see past it. So are you saying that that despair is its last ditch effort, sort of, to get me to listen to it?
Well, you'll have to look and see for yourself, but that's something along those lines is sure what I would project.
Okay.
So we might say, it's interesting because knowing nothing, but what you've said so far on the show, I would guess that you're going through some kind of a period of expansion in your life. Is that so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, good. So that really starts to lend credence to our little theory we're working on here. So one thing that I've noticed is that the more that we approach expansion, happiness, joy, peace, these sorts of things, or in other words, the more that we start to be free of conditioned mind, you know, the more it's going to kick in with something to try and pull us back. And that voice is just such a perfect example of that. So you're depressed, and in the middle of that depression, basically conditioning is saying, this is hopeless, you can't do anything about this.
Absolutely, 100%. You'll never, ever be happy again. You're just going to be depressed forever.
Yeah, and it kind of makes you wonder, if that were true, why would it have to be talking you into that all the time?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah, if it were true that you will basically be unhappy the rest of your life,
it
wouldn't have to do anything. It could just kind of, you know, kick back on the sofa and watch you be unhappy.
Oh, because it wouldn't have to tell me that, because that's the truth. So it would just be.
Yeah, because exactly. That's reality. So, okay, well, you know, what is there to talk about? But the fact that it has to talk you into that all the time, that starts to make a person suspicious. You know, is it really true? Or is this just a story that you're being told that you're supposed to believe that will sort of kind of make it true what it's saying?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it's so strong at those times.
It is. Yeah.
It's extremely, like, it just beats me over the head and just slays me. I use so many of the tools that I've learned through your practice. But when those ones come on, when those despair ones come on, it's just, I have nothing.
Yeah.
I have no defense.
Not yet. Not yet. And actually, I wouldn't even say that was true, because you're aware of it.
Yes.
You can talk about it as an it. You can describe it to me, which says you don't completely believe it. If you did, it would just be real.
Right.
And we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
Yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So here's another thing to consider, that you're right. It's huge in a way. You know, what you're doing, you're attempting to end something that has been going on for ages, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, you know, as long as human beings have had the capacity to feel themselves as separate from life, this thing has been going on. just rolling through time. You know, think about all of the, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the line between the beginning of time, whatever that was, and you, to get to this point.
Right.
And this thing, you know, this karma, we could talk about it that way, that's been rolling through the ages, through all those people believing that it's real, it coming through and dominating the lives of all those people. And then it comes to you and was doing that for you for however long you've been alive up until recently.
Yes.
And then one day, for some reason, this is where we start talking about miracles generally, you woke up to it.
Yes.
And you said, hey, wait a second. Why does this need to be the way that it is? Is this actually real, what I'm experiencing? Or in some way, is this being made up? Am I being deceived in some way?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what you're doing is you're saying, you're attempting to put a stop in your life to that force that's been rolling through the ages all that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's big. I mean, that is a huge thing to attempt to accomplish. So no wonder it would seem so gigantic when you're in the middle of it, especially now, because you're just kind of getting started with it, and you're getting your practice legs under you.
That's right. Okay, so then what you're saying then, it is a challenge to everyone.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
I guess that's redundant.
Yeah, I would love to meet the person for whom it's not a challenge. It would be a very interesting person. And maybe there is people like that. I don't know. I've never met one. But, you know, for all of us, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know if you've how long you've been listening to the show, but you can just hear what people are saying. A year? Mm-hmm. Yes, you've probably heard in that year that, you know, just people talking about how challenging it is. People who have been doing practice for a really long time and have a lot of awareness and a lot of skill in directing their attention and the stuff we learn to do, still, it's tremendous. Just the hugeness of this thing that we're attempting to do.
Okay, so then when that despair and that heaviness starts hitting, where I just can't fight it, the fact that I'm even questioning it is the beginning.
Absolutely, yeah. What that says is you're here.
Okay.
You haven't been before, probably, or you know, just maybe very occasionally. It's been
right.
Here. It's been living your life. It's been pretending as if it's you.
Yes.
And you're waking up to the fact that that's not you. That's just a story that is designed to produce suffering. That's the only thing that it's doing.
Okay. And it's really just words.
Yeah.
That's the funniest
really
part about the entire thing.
I know. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So it's funny you should say that, because I was looking at exactly the same thing right when you said that.
Oh.
This sounds a little bit like I'm contradicting what I said a minute ago about how big it is, but it isn't. It's really kind of goes along. It's just sort of the flip side of it. That at the same time, it's so powerful. It's really just powerful because we believe it. That's
yes.
It. But at the same time, it's just made up.
Mm.
It doesn't. That's the thing that I find to be so liberating about this this work that we do. To get it that it's not real. It doesn't actually exist. It's not here. It's not here in this reality that our bodies are in. It's not real. The only thing, it just is a bunch of made-up stuff that's communicated to us through words. And if we believe it, it has absolute power.
Yes.
If we don't believe it, it has no power at all. And so in this amazing way, you know, there's this thing that's been rolling through the ages, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, dominating, even destroying thousands and thousands, millions and millions of lives to get to this point.
Mm.
And in this moment, we can say, no thanks, and it's over.
Right.
It's just so amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty incredible, actually. And so now what you've kind of done is made a space for me in my head between what it's saying and the fact that I'm wondering, I'm looking at it in the face almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's the exciting part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All
now,
right,
one
thing, just to add one more little thing. Now, given everything that we've said, it's probably pretty obvious to you, and it was probably obvious to you before that in order for you to be able to continue with this, you're going to have to get as much support as you can find.
Hmm.
Because the habit of believing the reality of that karma, like you were saying before, is very hard to overcome.
Hmm.
And so you're going to want to hang around with people who also are questioning it. and saying, "Wait a second, is this real? Isn't it real?" You're gonna want to be involving yourself in activities, kind of the things that we offer or whatever, that will keep reminding you that there is another alternative and that you can go there through your own efforts. It's important because all by yourself working on this, it's gonna be a tough road because it has so much power.
Yes. Yeah, it's extremely hard by myself. And I've had trouble reaching out just due to the circumstances. A lot of shame, a lot of embarrassment and that kind of thing. But just calling in now is actually a huge leap, I would think. But, you have all sorts of classes and stuff, so I think maybe I should start trying one of those.
Yeah, I think that would be a fantastic thing. And I think one thing that will happen for you, we'll see, but I predict that as you go along and it becomes more and more your actual experience rather than just kind of an idea, that this thing that's happening to you is not you, the less you'll take it personally and the less you'll feel ashamed of it, feel a need to hide it, any of those kind of things. And the more you'll be able to talk about it to other people and say, conditioning is doing this to me right now, or this is kind of what process I notice going on, or those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And the more you can do that, that's when the process really starts to speed up, because then you can align yourself. It's like you're doing on the show tonight. You can align yourself with something other than conditioned mind, and like our practice or another practice that understands what we're talking about. And you can align yourself with that and get that kind of support and stand sort of supported in opposition to that conditioning, like you're saying, standing to it face to face.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do look forward to it speeding up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
thank
good.
You. Thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for your time. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Good night. Good night, Michael. Good night, Dave.
Thanks for joining us, Tanya. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the privilege of being joined by Dave, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Dave, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okie dokie.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of...
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Dave, we have another caller here.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Dave, this is Renee.
Hey, Renee.
How's it going?
Good, good. How in the world are you?
I'm great. I'm joining the group of people who put it on their calendar to call in.
All right. Great. It's a popular club. I've noticed.
It is, and I've been very inspired listening to them in the archives. So I just did it, and there was a lot of activity to get here.
activity being secret code for egocentric karmic conditioning?
I think partially, yeah, and partially forgetting what I need to do to set it up, because 5 o'clock's a hard time for me. You know, it's a transition time from work to
uh-huh.
kids. And,
yeah.
So I had to, you know, get off work early, get the kids home, start it on homework, and just do it, you know, make it happen. So.
Yeah, that makes it kind of extra special, it seems like. If you have to go, you know, take a little extra effort, little extra attention to make it happen, it really says something about your commitment to yourself.
Yeah, and that's what I did. Was I was pretty committed to doing it, and from the other people being so inspiring about it, and then I put it out there to all the people around me that this is what I wanted to do, and I got some help remembering some things I needed to do to make it happen. You know, just
always
as little as having the phone number, you know, available to call right when I needed it or something.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Always a good idea. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Elicit support at every turn, whenever it's possible.
Yeah, yeah. So it's fun to watch it all and watch it unfold mm-hmm. and then realize where conditioning is kind of tripping you up. And
yeah,
it's
neat. It's so our practice, too, because as we often joke, you know, at the monastery, you know, all we're doing in practice is just make up a bunch of stuff to do so that
uh-huh.
we can see how we do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's basically the whole,
yeah.
what the entire practice is. And so, and with that, it's kind of neat because no matter what it is we're doing, it's a workshop for us. Or you might say it's a mirror that we can look into to see, you know, what conditioning is all about, what our relationship with conditioned mind is, how we cause ourselves to suffer, and all those kind of things. And so people will talk about, you know, the retreat starts the day you sign up. Because
mm-hmm.
as soon as you do that, or even before, you know, conditioning is going to have stuff going about it, and there's your retreat. And so it sounds like you're having kind of a miniature version of that.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, there's not just all that activity, but there's also the fear about calling, the talking on
mm-hmm.
the phone itself, the radio show
mm-hmm.
itself, just what are you going to talk about, and just a whole bunch of stuff. It's amazing. It really is amazing how
it
much
is.
Goes on. Yeah.
And such
yeah.
an excellent practice, because that's, to me at least, that's what practice is. I was actually talking with somebody, one of the monks earlier today about that, you know, what practice does, particularly at the monastery, but really throughout practice, is puts us in situations where we don't know how to do it, where conditioning feels extremely uncomfortable, and where we don't have any escape route.
Yeah.
And so, and the commit, that's what a commitment is. It's like closing off that escape route. Say, you can't really listen to a voice that says, I don't really feel like it. No, that must be conditioning because I've committed to this. And you put all that together, being sort, another way of talking about it is being asked to step into a larger sense of myself or ourselves than we currently know, and finding out that we are bigger than we thought we were. You put that together with no escape from that possibility, and it's a dynamite combination, and it produces the transformation that we're all after.
Yeah, definitely. And what led up to this was I'd been suffering over something, which you were talking about a little bit with the previous caller. You know, the part of it was talked about with her, but I've had these voices I've had this going on where I have a voice that says you don't have enough time to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you're going to die without doing everything you want to do.
Uh-huh.
So,
which is probably a true statement.
Yeah, exactly. So I process mapped it on Saturday and had someone help me with it to give me some objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who helped me with it said, well, I don't really see why you can't do all this with your schedule. And I went, whoa. Like, that was just like major transformation.
Just somebody who can look at it from outside of your conditioning.
Yeah, and so I noticed the voices. Really, the only thing that was wrong was the voice saying, "You can't do it all."
Oh God, isn't that the truth? That's what.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed? That's what it always comes down to. It's just the voice saying something that's
yeah.
not true. Messes it all up.
Yep, that was. And so it sort of switched me into a different frame of mind. But what was amazing about it was you were talking about with the previous caller about how big it is. Well, that night when I was sleeping, I saw what was underneath it, and it was basically that you're not worth it, you're not good enough, and you're not as good as.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So you don't deserve to have all those things.
Yeah. And, if
and it was in the middle of the night that I had the insight, and I didn't even wake up. I just woke up knowing that I had seen it.
That had happened, yeah, and that you saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's so good, isn't it?
And it was from an observer point of view. It wasn't like I was
mm-hmm.
in believing it. I was just seeing mm-hmm. that's what was underneath it all.
Yeah, you're outside of the suffering system looking at it and
mm-hmm.
and essentially taking it apart.
Yeah, yeah.
That is so great, isn't it? I mean, that's the place we're practicing for, it seems like, is to be in a place where we can see like that. Because I don't know if you feel this way or not, but it seems like having had that insight, now it's going to come through and you'll believe it again, of course,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know that.
Right.
From,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It just cycles through, but never in the same way.
Right. Right.
You will never believe that as completely as you did right before you had that insight.
Right. And yeah. And what I'm noticing now is just how I don't want to give my life to it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to practice as much as possible. Again, you know, I've come here before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this before, and now I see it again, and I want to practice it. I want to practice more so I don't live there anymore.
Yep, me too. I'm right with you. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, the other thing, Renee, it really explains that resistance you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get framed this way. The resistance, you know, I always say, well, I don't want to do that, or I don't have enough time, or whatever it is. But it's not. It's If you continue down this road that you're walking down, you are going to have to give up that idea that, what was it, you're not worth it? What were the things?
Yeah, it was you're not worth it, you're not as good as, and you don't deserve those things that you want.
Yeah, you're not worth it, you're not as good as, and you don't deserve to have what you want. So if you continue walking down that path, this path you're talking about towards, you know, freedom and you know, ending suffering, you're going to have to give that up, those
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
which means you're going to feel like you're completely worth it. You're going to feel absolutely like you deserve to have what you want.
Yeah, well,
right?
Well, there's a part of me that knows that I do.
Exactly.
And
right.
Knows
yeah.
that
and
I'm that's, completely worth it. And
oh, yep. And
mm-hmm.
and I bet you that is what draws you to practice.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Yeah. Yes.
It's
I think
fun,
so.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we really already know the answer. Even when we start,
yeah,
you know, because it's that knowing that draws us to do awareness in the first place. It's just that we have to go through a long period of proving that to ourselves.
yeah, we do, and I think it comes in different words and versions as you travel through it,
mm-hmm.
you know, different layers of it, and
mm-hmm.
it's gets better and better.
It does, and deeper and deeper, mm-hmm.
and deeper and deeper, and you see more. And,
yeah.
And
of course,
yeah.
Of course, the other thing that happens is this goes back to what we were talking about with the previous caller is as your experience of freedom deepens in a way, up to a point, in a way, so does the stuff that conditioning tries to hit you with.
Mm-hmm.
You know that one, right?
Yeah.
It ramps up and ramps up and gets bigger and bigger and uglier, the bigger and bigger you get.
It
and
does.
So, you know, that's what all that resistance is that we have to wade through all the time in order to, you know, do anything that's practice related, sit or call into a radio show or, you know, participate in a workshop, go on a retreat, make a donation, you know, any of those kind of things that we do to support ourselves in practice. Conditioning is just going to fight that every inch of the way because it cannot survive in an environment where we're free like that. And, you know, it's almost like, it's inevitable. I don't know if you ever have that feeling, but just this path of walking down is
mm-hmm.
sort of inevitable. You have this willingness that is inevitably taking you where you need to go, and everything you're going through is just kind of what you need to go through in order to get there.
Yeah, and the paradox of all of that is, even though it gets bigger and bigger, it gets better and better.
I know.
Does that mean it doesn't make sense to condition mind, but.
Uh-huh. Well, if you look at it from your heart, how do you explain that?
there's just more joy. There's more presence.
Mm-hmm.
There's more seeing the real thing, or the real reality,
yeah,
whatever that is.
Yeah. Might we say that you're more and more living in what's actually authentically you?
Yeah.
Instead of living inside this,
yeah,
this condition.
Yeah.
Living inside this condition idea that pretends to be you but isn't actually you at all.
Yeah, because conditioned mind cannot see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it brings up everything to get you from seeing it, you know, or to being there. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
it gets
better, even though it gets more intense or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then at a certain point, of course, we can be grateful for the intensity, because that's what calls us back to the moment.
Right.
We have to.
Yeah.
Can't afford to wander for a second, because we do. We get clobbered.
That's right. That's what I'm seeing, is that you can't wander for a second. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Can't wander for a second.
Yep. And so I'm very grateful to all the folks who have talked about their calendars and calling in, and this is another way for me to stay present.
Yeah, it is. So we'll be hearing from you again in how long?
It's on my calendar once a month.
Once a month. Great.
Yep.
Okay, good.
I'll be doing that. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Renee.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. You're listening to Open Air. Dave, one of the many things I loved about that conversation is that awareness works during sleep as well as conditioning.
Yeah, it's true. Now, conditioning works pretty darn hard during sleep,
yes.
I put it. Have you noticed that too?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I love those. I've had those experiences too, like that Renee was describing. It sounds like you have too, where you kind of get something in the middle of the night that you couldn't possibly get in another context.
Yeah.
And you wake up with that insight. That's a fun thing.
It is a fun thing. Dave, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe and hear from Sangha Market, and then we'll be back.
All right.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back to Open Air. Dave, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Valerie calling.
Hey, Valerie.
Hey.
How in the world are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm just calling in because I'm provoking emotion in myself.
You're noticing emotion in yourself?
Yeah, I'm calling in to see, to watch how my emotions arise within me as I call in.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. So what are you noticing so far?
I have a lot of you know, heart pounding and all that fear. Mm-hmm. But I guess I also have, like, I had a couple moments of sadness, like automatic emotional moments.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm being there for myself, and I'm trying to see if conditioning is harassing somebody to death, or not to death, but harassing somebody into crying because I'm approaching getting support, and approaching talking to people that don't buy into maybe my conditioning or buy into
me. Valerie, let me make sure I'm with you. So you're deciding that you really need some support and are taking steps in that direction. Obviously, you're doing that right now on the call. And conditioning is harassing you for that.
I can't really pinpoint what it's exactly saying, but it does give me devastating information, and then I get emotional.
And then you get emotional. Yeah. And so, Valerie, what, from conditioning's point of view, what's supposed to happen with that? You are looking around to be supported, probably beyond that, to be, you know, happier, more free. It comes in, it drops in devastating information. You have an emotional response, and then what are you supposed to do next with that? Where is that supposed to end up from conditioning's point of view?
Not saying anything. And
not seeing anything.
Not saying anything.
Oh, not saying anything. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I guess running away from the situation.
Yeah, running back into the arms of egocentric karmic conditioning, we might say.
I had an experience last night of being locked in a conversation in my head about what was wrong when I had an opportunity to ask for donations for a fundraising event.
Oh, my.
And then
mm-hmm.
I was just like, okay, forget it. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go out there and do it. And, you know, I got information that I'm not going to do it right, but I did everything. Went fine. I was smiling, and I was grateful to them. And
isn't that great?
I get locked up through conditioning.
Yeah, well, you used to, anyway. Probably still do a lot, but not always. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really pretty powerful, what you're saying. You because you're going up against it.
Yeah.
You can see it. It's like similar in some ways to what we talked about earlier in the show. You can see it, and that makes all the difference. It still has a lot of ways of getting at you. It still has, sounds like, some information that it holds on to that it can drop in occasionally, which has a really big impact. It can stir up your emotions. It can get you sort of believing what it wants you to believe. But on some level, you get that it's it. And so you don't completely go with the program.
Yeah.
And in an experience you had last night, you don't go with the program at all. You say, no thanks,
yeah.
I'm going to have my own experience of this. And it's just, I love those kinds of things because the actual experience that results is always so different from what conditioning is predicting. So there you are, you're happy, you're smiling, it all goes fine. It wasn't horrible in the way it says it was. You weren't embarrassed, you weren't humiliated. Any of that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just telling you a bunch of lies to keep you small, and then kind of like we were talking about earlier in the show, with this fundamental agenda to keep you in relationship with it. There's no, you don't want to be in relationship with Sangha, you know, with other people who also understand that conditioning is not real. You need to be in relationship with me. And if you decide you're not going to be in relationship with me, then I'm going to have to punish you until you obey.
If I'm willing to feel sad, I will feel sad. If there's a willingness to feel sad, I guess I'm maybe not saying it right, but from that what was your favorite thing about today? Terry said something like, if you're willing to feel angry, you will feel angry. I guess.
Yeah.
If I'm concentrating and looking at sadness and stories that go along with me feeling sad over the past, then that's what I have.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. If you're willing to believe the story and listen to the voices, then you will have the result that it intends you to have. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have the.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's this whole other possibility in there. I think you were sort of suggesting it earlier when you're talking about taking care of yourself. You could, there's this experience that we might label sad, and of course it's not sad. It's not anything. That's just a label that conditioning puts on it. It's just, a physical/emotional stew that's happening. It's not anything. But you could have that experience without the story, and then that thing that you are calling sad, that could be your very favorite part of the day, being with that feeling, because that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, I guess I could kind of see that. I mean, it's not like sometimes sadness I guess you're saying that is sadness is I can be okay with my sadness if I'm taking care if the mentor is taking care of me and I'm taking care of myself, then I can be with my sadness and it can be okay and it can
absolutely
be the best.
Yeah.
Just because it feels
so good to be loved in the middle of whatever is happening. And of course that's what's there when the mentor's there. So conditioning might be throwing in all kinds of stuff. It might be stirring the pot and trying to make you upset or angry or sad or lonely or whatever it does. And if you're there in that experience, not believing the story, but instead attending to the part of you who is left in that experience that's produced.
Yeah.
Then, essentially what that is you're loved. That's my experience anyway. I feel loved in that. I feel taken care of. And it doesn't even have to be that it's not like the sadness needs to go away or the anger or the loneliness or anything. But just being held, it's what in that experience, it's what we all want. It's what we're all projecting onto outside people and trying to get from outside people. Hold me no matter what. Love me unconditionally. No matter what is going on, no matter what mood or different emotional experiences coming through this person, love me no matter what. That's what we all want. And, it's a kind of challenge to get that from the outside. But, boy, it's absolutely possible on the inside with practice.
Trying to be there myself unconditionally.
Yeah. And a big part of that, I love that story you told about, asking for the donation for the fundraiser, because that's a big part of being there for yourself, is standing up to conditioning in that way. Saying, no thanks. No, I am not going to allow you to continue to abuse this person that I'm here with. I'm not going to allow that anymore. I mean, you will still win often. You'll often get your way. You'll often be able to access this person and abuse this person. But I can tell you right now that I'm here, and I'm going to be practicing with everything I've got to take that away from you.
Seems like it gives me the worst memory information.
Yep.
Most important pivotal times to open up and to have opportunities, take take opportunities, and all of a sudden it's like nightmare memory lane.
Yeah, it's interesting that it always goes that way, doesn't it? The closer you get to openness and freedom, the bigger the stuff is that it'll hit you with. And it's just good to know that. It's just good to know that that's what's going on. That's all that's happening. It's not real. There's nothing in those memories that is really needs to be there in the moment at all. It's just conditioning dropping in something that you can feel bad about to try to pull your attention back and keep you from those places of expansion that you're moving into.
Yeah.
You think?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around a lot of new people in the past few days, and really seeing myself pulled down and then seeing myself say, you know, realize what's happening and say, no, I'm here for you. No, I'm.
Yeah, that's such a courageous thing to do. You know, this is often just talked about as the path of heroes, and that's why, what you're saying. It's such a tremendous act of courage to stand up in the face of all of that conditioning and karma and say no and choose love and self-compassion instead. Pretty much, as far as I can tell, the biggest thing a person can do and the biggest contribution a person can make. For that matter.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Valerie. I'm really glad you called in.
Take care.
Thank you. We'll hear from you again soon, I hope.
Yep. Okay, good night.
Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. You're listening to Open Air. Dave, I heard a lot of resolve and commitment in that conversation.
Yeah, I did too. It really, boy, it's amazing. People are amazing. I guess that's what I mean. People are amazing. What we are able to bring to the table, even after a life of abuse inside from conditioning, is remarkable.
It is remarkable. It is
remarkable. And how beautiful people are.
Yes, yes. And the chance that I have to see and hear how beautiful people are on a regular basis with practice.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good point, Michael. Yeah.
Yes. And then I'm quote forced to come to the inevitable conclusion that I am that also.
Yeah. Usually we're the very last ones that will admit that before, but yeah, you know, how can I be different than all these beautiful people who are I hear talking every week on the show or on retreat or wherever? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it makes me teary.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so grateful that the practice is set up this way because we get to benefit from each other's practice through that.
Yes.
You know, because every time we hear someone take those steps towards freedom, we take them inside ourselves as we listen. And, you know, we all teach each other. We're all teachers in a way as we're doing this practice. It's really, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes. As you said that, I just had an image of all of us holding hands and nobody gets left behind.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, only conditioning, and that's not such a bad thing.
Yeah. Dave, we have a couple minutes, and we have another caller here.
Okay, we'll do a quickie then.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Elizabeth from Mill Valley.
Hey, Elizabeth.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, I called you a couple of weeks ago, and I've really about my friend who was yelling at me.
Yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I just wanted to thank you. You really helped me.
Does it feel like, have you moved through that and seen some stuff?
I wouldn't say through, but
uh-huh.
I'm not through.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but working with it.
Yeah, I'm working with it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great. Great. Yeah. That's all we ever really asked for anyway. Who cares about moving through? Just working with it is good enough.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll tell you about the artwork I was doing in Ohio.
Okay, now we have a couple minutes, Elizabeth, just so you know you're
okay.
Aware of that. Okay.
I was making this fabric piece, kind of like a painting with cloth. And And it started out really black, and then I kept breaking up the black, and it got so that it looked like you had to look through these little black pieces in order to see what was really going on.
Mm.
And finally, I worked on this for 5 months, and I finally got it so that the black is integrated in with the color. And isn't that great?
Yeah, it's such a great metaphor, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So I titled it something like the Valley of the Shadow of Death, but I'm not sure yet whether that's going to be the final thing.
Now,
but I feel like it's, you know, more integrated into my life.
Yeah. Now, the obvious question that comes up as you describe that is, would you say that that's a mirror of your life as it is or has been in recent times?
Yeah, that I'm like saying, well, like, I'm not going to get through my grief. I'm going to integrate it into my life.
Yeah, that is such a wise statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Ah, and it came through the artwork, you know, and I just struggled and struggled. And there were times when I thought, oh, I can fix this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said to me, just take the black out.
Yeah,
no,
but we can't
it's about
do that,
the black.
Can't we? Yeah, we... That is so good. We can't do that. We can't reject anything.
Right.
You know, nothing.
Right.
If we're going to be whole, complete, free people, everything has to be included. Even
yeah.
the stuff that's the most painful. Like, you know, for folks who weren't here on the listening on the show last time, you know, you were talking about the death of your son a few years ago, and so, you know, a very big thing that you've been working with since then.
Yeah.
And it sounds like what you've realized is. You need to incorporate that. That has changed you.
Yeah.
And
true
that
enough.
Grief, which is still there, can be incorporated in the life that you have now in a way that makes you whole instead of
right.
dividing you, you know, kind of
right.
divide you against yourself.
Right, right. And the voices were so hard at work. You should finish this thing. You're taking too
mm-hmm.
long. Well, you don't know what you're doing. You've got to use some device. You've got to, you know. It's got to come from outside of you. You can't. Blah, 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 blah.
It really points to the cruelty of those voices, doesn't it? Because
yeah.
basically what it's saying is, I don't want you to heal.
Right.
I don't want you to integrate this and be whole. I want you.
Right.
I want you to be separate and full of grief and suffering.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize what I was working on until I got near the end.
Yeah, we never do, do we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
such a yes.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say,
it's such a great
metaphor.
Yeah.
It's such a great metaphor for life because that's what we're all doing. You know, we all have whatever it is that life has put in front of us to work with.
Yeah.
And we're all doing our best to integrate that into a whole life.
Yeah.
Instead of having that be the thing that conditioning can use to separate us. And causes suffer. You know that old
yeah.
expression, you know, divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what conditioning is trying to do all the time. Just divide us up into little people and then dominate
mm-hmm.
The world we live in so that we suffer.
Mm-hmm. A friend of Alex came over today for lunch, and I haven't seen him for quite a while. And so we were going over, you know, some questions about what happened that night, you know, because he was one of the two boys that saw him last. And at one point, we said, oh, I thought this happened first. No, I thought that happened. Oh, and then, you know, it was like, I realized it didn't matter.
Doesn't
because
matter.
It wasn't going to change the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What but, matters really is that work you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, that happened, and there's just no going back from that.
Right.
It's just the way it is. So we have to go forward. You know,
yeah,
we have to.
Do.
And, you know, and just, gosh, it's so, I mean, a lot of people think this is completely crazy, but, and we talked about this the other day on the call, that even something like that, we follow the one rule, which is to use everything in our experience to see how
mm-hmm.
we cause ourselves to suffer so we
mm-hmm.
can drop that and end suffering. Even
mm-hmm.
something that a lot of people would say is, you cannot suffer, you cannot not suffer
mm-hmm.
over this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, even that is something that is there for us for our transformation.
Well, I mean, even though it's awful, doesn't mean that you have to suffer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even though there's tremendous emotion, tremendous pain,
yeah.
tremendous grief, that's not suffering.
I know.
That's
that
experience.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
They seem so integrated. You
yeah.
know the yeah yeah
yeah. That's just the experience of a human going through a really big event. It's not suffering. Mm. The suffering is what gets added to that.
Yeah.
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 That's good. Okay. Well, thanks for the update, Elizabeth. It's really fun to hear from you. I'm glad that's fun about the artwork. It's it might be time to start another one before too long.
I'm going back to Ohio on Thursday, where my studio is, and I'm going to start a new piece. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah. You can show you where you are now.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You've been listening to Open Air. Dave, it's been really a special show and a great privilege for me to be here tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Grateful for your presence and what you shared and everyone who makes it possible for this show to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good thing, isn't it?
It's a great thing.
Yeah, all those people out there doing practice who all at the same time. I just love that. And then every once in a while, you know, they call in and we get to find out what's going on.
Yes. Yes, it's great.
So next week, very likely, I don't know for sure, but very likely Sherry will be back on the show, so people can look forward to that. And it'd be fun to see people at a workshop or retreat in the near future if anybody feels like coming.
Yes, and we'll be watching our email for September 11th and an update about the technology.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed. I'm about to go. Since I get done here, I'm going to go talk to our techno whiz and see where we are.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dave.
Take care.
You
good night,
too.
Michael.
Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.